The message I'm preaching this morning is simply entitled, Bless This House. And I want to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Colossians. Over the last 2 weeks, we've talked about living a thankful life, that God has called each and every one of us to live a life that gives praise to Him and thanksgiving to Him. And then last week, we talked about the thankful church. So if there are these five things we mentioned last week that are taking place in the church that you're a part of, then you've got something to be thankful for. But this morning, I want to take the three verses we've read the last 2 weeks and move on into the next passage of Scripture that seems to flow very naturally from Paul's pen. And I want to talk about God's blessing on the family. If you'd look with me, Colossians chapter 3, if you found it, if you would, please stand. There are three times the word thanksgiving or the word gratitude is mentioned in this passage. And Paul begins to write, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we begin to read, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body," that one body is the church, "and be ye thankful." Individually, corporately, all of us live in a thankful life. And he said in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now he flows immediately into a section about the family. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And all the men say, amen. Yes, both of you said that. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And all the ladies say, amen. Yeah, not much better. "Children, obey your parents in all things. But this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word, not just this text, but from Genesis to Revelation, those words that point us to the fact that we need to be blessed and we need to be a blessing. And so, Lord, today, speak to our hearts. Speak to the heart of every family, the head of every household. Lord, speak to every family member, every husband, every wife, every child, all of us today. May we understand just how much we need for you to bless us. And then, Lord, we simply ask that you would bless us. Bless the families of Concord Baptist Church. Protect our families and shield us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 45 years ago this past March, on March the 15th, Betty and I were married. My standard line is, I said, "Wilt thou," and she wilted. But actually, we've tried to figure out when I ever ask her to marry me, and we can't pin down a time that ever happened. I mean, it's like, "Hey, baby, let's get married." I don't know. But I hear, some of you all are planning on getting married, and you got plans like 2-3 years out in advance, and you're going to plan, you're going to do this, you got this venue, you got all that kind of stuff lined up. I mean, you know, we had been courting a while, dating a while, and then in October, I borrowed enough money from her to get an engagement ring. True story. And she says I never paid it back. Also true story. So on March 15th, beware the Ides of March, we gathered at Beaver Lick Baptist Church with a whole bunch of friends and a whole lot of confusion because it was right during that period of time when we began to do daylight savings time. Except we live in what's a tri-state area, so there was Ohio, there was Indiana, there was Kentucky, and then there were counties. Some of them decided they'd do daylight savings time. Some of them said, "We're not changing." The Baptists were the majority in those counties. "We're not going to change this thing." So we gathered together, and it was a very rainy night in Kentucky, a rainy, rainy night in Kentucky. And we gathered there, and my dad was the preacher. We gathered with friends around us. And one of the reasons I asked that this song be sung this morning was because that song, "Bless This House," was sung at our wedding. I don't know when the last time was I heard it sung at a wedding, but you know that it is just simply a prayer. And sometimes people think, well, okay, bless this house. Why are we going to bless this house? What is so significant about the house? The song was written nearly 100 years ago, in 1927. Helen Taylor wrote it. She was an English lady. It's often considered a Thanksgiving song, so that all kind of fits together. Perry Como may have had the best known... Does anybody here know who Perry Como was? Huh? Okay, there we go. There's a few hands go up. He may have had the best rendition of it. Mahalia Jackson also recorded it. It's been recorded by a lot of different people on a lot. And if you're fortunate enough to find a Thanksgiving album, chances are, Bless This House, O Lord, We Pray, is going to be on it. The thing I like about Perry Como, and I did a little research this week by Googling, I thought, Perry Como, his wife's name was Roselle. And yes, he did. He sang a lot of songs. And I Love Her So, Bluest Skies You've Ever Seen in Seattle, lots of good music. But he did sing Bless This House, O Lord, We Pray. And he had a reason to sing that song, because he and his wife, Roselle, in a Hollywood culture, were married for 65 years until the day that she died. She died in 1999. He died in 2001. Amazing. The words are pretty simple. Bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless these walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimney tall. Let thy peace lie over all. Bless this door that it may prove ever open to joy and love. Bless these windows shining bright, letting in God's heavenly light. Bless the hearth ablazing there with smoke ascending like a prayer. Bless the people here within. Keep them pure and free from sin. Bless us all that we may be fit, O Lord, to dwell with thee. Bless us all that one day we may dwell, O Lord, with thee. Think about praying over your house. You have a house. If you're not homeless, you have a house. You pray over the walls. Lord, let them be firm and stout. Let them keep wanting trouble out. You think about the windows. What the light and the glory and the grace of God shining in through those windows. You think about the doors, that they might be open to joy and love. Bless the roof and chimney tall. Let thy peace lie over all. You thank God for the hearth with the smoke ascends like a prayer. But most importantly, above everything else, and you know this, you can live in a house and not have a home. Or you can have a home and not have a house. The most important thing is about the people who dwell within. That's the most important thing. And really, when we're asking God to bless, it's not like we're taking some kind of an inanimate object like a house, and a house is an inanimate object, and it's amazing that if you leave that house for a little while, there's nobody live in it, how fast things begin to fall apart. Actually, it's amazing how fast things begin to fall apart if you do live in it. But it's an inanimate object. It's just a house. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't live. It's not going to spend eternity. And yet the very thought that when God blesses a house and he blesses a family, the family that lives in that house, the person that lives in the house, it's an awesome thing. I've had some people through the years say, you know, Brother Monty, I'll pray for everybody else. But it just kind of bothers me. I don't feel like I should pray for myself. I think that's kind of selfish. And I think you're trying to sound a little super spiritual. Because Jesus himself taught us to pray. And yes, he prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But the very next line of that wonderful Lord's Prayer was, Give us this day our daily bread. There's not a person in this building today that doesn't have needs. There's not a family that's a part of our fellowship or a family living inside Jefferson City that doesn't have needs. We all stand in need of the blessing of God. Whether we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing, or whether we're counting our blessings one by one, or we're coming, you thankful people, come yet, we have needs. And the place that we are to turn is to look to the Lord. So this morning I want to speak to you about three different things with regard to blessing. Number one, the importance of a blessing. The importance of a blessing. So you see it throughout the Bible, and there's something very important about being blessed. Now, it's kind of a Christian answer. Sometimes it's Christian speak. If you ask someone, how are you doing? And they say, I'm blessed. Light goes off. Bingo. That's a good Baptist word. There's a person that is a believer because they gave that secret answer. How are you doing? I'm blessed. To be blessed means that you're looking at someone beyond yourself, not your efforts, not your ingenuity, not what you've accomplished. You're looking at someone outside of yourself to say, somebody has bestowed a blessing on me. Somebody's been good to me. I've got so very much to be thankful for. I've been blessed. But there's not a one of us in this building this morning that doesn't need a blessing. I see the importance of a blessing that flows all the way through God's Word. And I don't have the time to get into every one of these texts, but let me just touch on a few of them. For instance, you take the story of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob and Esau, the sons of Isaac, and both of them were kind of interesting characters. Esau was a man of the field. Jacob was kind of a mama's boy. And you read the account of their lives, and you know that one day Jacob is getting ready for the chili cook-off. It's in the Bible, Schenkel Revised Version. And so, really, the Bible says that he sawed, the King James Version says he sawed pottage, which means he was cooking up some kind of red stew. Well, what else could be but chili? So he's cooking up. He wasn't wearing a shirt like Chris had on earlier, but he's cooking up for this chili cook-off, and Esau comes in out of the field, and he says what a lot of young men have said when they come home, I am starved to death. I'm starving. And he looks at Jacob, and he says, I'd like to have some of that chili you've got cooked up there, some of that pottage you've made. And he said, no, I'm saving this all for tonight. It's going to be entered in the competition. And he said, no, he said, I got to have some of that starved. He said, I'll tell you what, if you will give me some of that, I will give you my birthright. I don't understand all that birthright means, but it obviously, the Bible says it didn't mean a lot to Esau. And so then he gave him his birthright. Then time goes along, and Isaac, the father of Jacob and Esau, is getting close to the point of death, and he sends his son Esau out in the field. He said, go kill a deer. I want some venison. Now, I'm following the biblical account very, very close. He said, I want some venison. So he sent him out. He's out there hunting. Rebecca hears this account, and she turns to her son Jacob and says, he's getting ready to bless. He's getting ready to give the blessing. He's getting ready to put his hands on. He's getting ready to bless your brother Esau. Now, you go kill a goat. I guarantee you, a goat's easier to kill than a deer this year. So he goes out and he gets this little goat and he kills it and he skins it. And they take the skin, the hide, and they put it on his arms and around his neck. And they took some of Esau's clothes and they put them on him. And so he comes in to Isaac and Isaac said, how in the world did you kill that deer that fast? How did this come about? And he lies and says, well, God just blessed me. God let me do this. And so, even with great doubts, Isaac lays his hands upon Esau, and he prays over him, or on Jacob, and he prays over him, and he prays a wonderful blessing over him. And so he gives the blessing of the firstborn, not to the firstborn, but to the secondborn. And no sooner is Jacob out of sight than here comes Esau, and he comes in, and all of a sudden, Isaac begins to realize he's made a great mistake. Even though he had his doubts, he had committed a blessing upon Jacob and not on Esau. And he said, well, to Esau, he said, I have just given the blessing that I should have given to the eldest. I've just given it to your brother. And the words of Esau were these. He cries. And he says, is there not another blessing for me, my father? Genesis 27:38. Is there not another blessing for me, my father? You see, Esau wept because to receive his father's blessing meant a lot. And to all of us dads, it still means a lot to our kids for them to receive a blessing. So that's just one illustration. He blessed him, but it wasn't with the same blessing that Jacob had received. Here's another illustration. If you read through 1 Chronicles, and I challenge you to do that, just reading through 1 Chronicles chapter 1, you start out with names, starts out with Adam, and just all the way through. The name of every boy child, I guess, at least every head of the household that had been born in Israel, and it goes on, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 3. You're just reading through all these names, and you think, when am I going to get through this? What does all this mean? And you're reading along, and you come to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, and it says, there was a man that was born named Jabez. Probably some of you have got a plaque hanging in your house somewhere with the prayer of Jabez on it. Probably some of you have read Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez. It just comes to Jabez. And it says this in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The word Jabez means sorrowful. You're walking down the street, and you meet Jabez. And if you say, hello, Jabez, you just as well be saying, hello, sorry. And in the Bible, names meant a lot. If Jacob's name meant trickster or supplanter, when anybody met Jacob, they knew that this was a guy that was not necessarily to be trusted. Now, if you meet Jabez, and Jabez says, my name is sorrowful, because that's what it meant. Jabez had been reading his Bible, and he'd found the account of a man named Jacob who had tricked his brother out of his birthright and out of his blessing. But eventually got his name changed. And he thought, if God could bless Jacob, maybe God could bless me. And this is his prayer. He says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. It was Jabez's prayer that God would bless him. I'll tell you, God delights to bless his people. And he granted him his request. What did the Lord say to Moses? In Numbers chapter 6, verse 23 through 27, on this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. I'm telling you, it's very important that we be blessed by God. And then I read this. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. And this is speaking of Jesus. And he said, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Can you just imagine the scene that here they are out on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples are gathered around, the people are gathered around there. And what did Jesus do? He laid his hands on them and blessed them. A blessing from God is important. How long has it been since you felt blessed of God? Here's the second thing, the ingredients of a blessing. The ingredients of a blessing. Several years ago, Gary Smalley and John Trent wrote a book called The Blessing. I highly recommend it. It became a bestseller. And in it, they laid out, based on Scripture, based primarily upon that experience with Jacob and Esau and Isaac, five different things that came together to constitute a blessing. So here are the five things that make a blessing. Number one, a meaningful touch. A meaningful touch. So when Jacob was blessed, when Isaac blessed Jacob and then Isaac blessed Esau, he laid his hands on them. And this is kind of a thing that showed up in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was the idea that you lay your hands on somebody when you bless them. That's why when little children come by, I like to put my hand on their head. Sometimes I don't like what I feel when I get there, but I like to lay my hand on their head. I like to put my hand on their shoulder. And I know we're living in a real weird world today, but little children need to be touched in a biblical way to say you're of great value. When Ira Sankey and D.L. Moody were in Ireland, I'm talking of 150 years ago, they were in a gypsy camp, and there was a little boy in that gypsy camp, a little gypsy boy that was standing over by one of the wagons, and Sankey walked over, and he laid his hand on this child and said, "God bless this boy." Well, the great evangelist Gypsy Smith would tell that story over and over and again because he was that little boy in that gypsy camp. And God did bless him, and God used him. But think about one man who did not know this kid, and yet laid his hand on him and said, "God bless this boy." Now, I'm praying blessings on my children and on my grandchildren all the time, but I tell you, folks, sometimes I just like to look at the kids in our church and say, "God bless this boy. God bless this little girl. They're going to be here a long time after we're gone. God bless them." So number one was a meaningful touch. Number two was a spoken word. A spoken word. According to Smalley and Trent, words do mean things. We know that. And words can change the trajectory of a life. So don't discourage your child. In fact, we read this in Colossians chapter 3. Don't be bitter toward your wife, but don't discourage your child. A spoken word, a word of blessing upon them. Here's the third thing, expressing high value. That's part of a blessing. Because God doesn't come to you and say, "You're good for nothing and you're always going to be good for nothing." Now, I've met some people that I thought, "You're good for nothing and you're always going to be good for nothing." But then again, I don't see it from God's perspective. And God is looking in a person's life, and he doesn't see us as being good for nothing. He looks at those of us who know Christ as being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He says that you can show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into light. That's the kind of God that we have. So when you think about blessing somebody, you think about laying your hand upon them, you think about speaking a word into their lives, you're talking about expressing high value. Don't ever say to your child, "You're never going to amount to anything." Because that's not how God looks at it. And that's not how we should look at it either. And then the fourth thing is this. You picture a special future. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for every little one in this church. God has a plan for every big one in this church. God has a plan for all of us. And he pictures a special future. You have no idea how God's going to use that person around you. And some of you may even say this morning, "Well, my life has been such a waste. It hasn't amounted to anything." Hey, your life's not over yet. Who's to say, but in the years that God has left you, no matter how many they might be 70 years left, you may not have 7 years left, but God is still at work using you. And he's got a blessing for you. And then the fifth thing was this. He said there's an active commitment that says no matter where you go, whatever happens in the course of your life, I will be with you. And God says that to every one of us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That rod and the staff, I used to think it meant that when the sheep got out of line, he'd whoop up on them. He'd get them back in line. But that shepherd would walk along, he'd take that rod or that staff, and he'd tap it on the ground, and they would feel the vibrations through their feet, and they'd know that their shepherd had not abandoned them. And there are times when you can feel the vibration of the shepherd under your feet. Without an audible word, to know that the shepherd has not left you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. A preacher friend of mine in Kentucky says, goodness and mercy sounds like two good hunting dogs. They're going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because God has blessed me. His hand has been laid upon me. His spoken word into my life is important to me. His picturing a special future is for me. His commitment to be with me all along the way, and that is what a blessing is. So I do not hesitate this morning to say, bless his house, O Lord, we pray. Pour your blessings out upon us. Those are the ingredients of a blessing. Now, what are the implications of a blessing? And I'm almost finished. There are at least five of them. And they come out of the text that we've looked at the last 2 weeks. Number one, God bless us with peace. I read Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. God blesses us with peace. Do you have the peace of God that rules in your heart? Sins are forgiven. Conscience is clean. You know, God is walking with you all along the way. God blesses us with peace. And when God is in the house, there is peace. God blesses us with his precepts, doesn't he? Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When you have the word of God, And you have the copies of the Word of God, and many copies of God's Word that we have. You have the Word of God in your home, and it's dwelling deep in your heart. Then I'm going to tell you, that's one of the implications of being blessed by God. You have the Word. Here's the third thing. God blesses us with people. This is where it gets really dangerous, so I can't name any of you. Not a one of you. And I can even look back over all these years of pastoring this church, and sometimes I could look out and I could see faces that are no longer here. How do you see faces that are no longer here? Well, you see faces all the time. You hear voices all the time. They're the voices of the past. They're the faces of the past. People who sweat and worked and taught and loved and gave and were a blessing to others, now they are not here, but they've entered into what we call the eternal blessing. I'm thankful for people. I'm thankful for you. So many, 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 many blessings. So the implications of God's blessing, God blesses us with peace, God blesses us with his precepts, God blesses us with people. And in this, Paul mentions wives and husbands and children, and God blesses us with praise. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Don't you just thank God with a song every now and then? To break out in praise to the Lord. Thanks be to our God. The choir sang that song. I'm glad they did. But I couldn't just sit there and let them sing it. I had to sing along with them. Thanks be to our God. And God blesses us with himself. I know it doesn't start with P, but God blesses us with himself. The Bible says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. God blesses us with himself. So bless this house, O Lord, we pray. Make it safe by night and day. Bless the walls so firm and stout, keeping want and trouble out. Bless the roof and chimney tall. Let thy peace rise over all. The Bible says that Moses was to bless the Lord. Aaron was to bless the people of the Lord with these words, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." May God bless your house and all that dwells within. Would you bow your head with me this morning? What a good God he is. What a good God he's been to us. And so this morning, you may want to just come get on your knees and say, "Thank you, Lord." I mean, this would really be a good time for families to do that. You may need to come and say, "Lord, bless my house. Bless my home. Bless my family. Make us pure and free from sin. Make us fit to dwell with thee. Lord, bless us." He has blessed us. And may he bless us more. Now, if you don't have a church home or church family, then this morning we invite you to come, to become part of this church family. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he wants to make you fit to dwell with him. And the only way that can happen is through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing you from all righteousness. Would you hear his call this morning? He cleanses you from all sin, and he makes you righteous. Would you hear his call this morning? Would you come to Christ? Father, we praise you today. Thank you for your love, your great, great love poured out upon us. For all of your blessings, thanks be to our God. And will you bless the homes of Concord Church? I pray in Jesus' name, amen.